Thank you, Pam, for that overview. All right, so we've asked a few people if they're going to be willing to share a little bit about the last few weeks. So I'm going to start off with Phil and Lauren. If you guys can come up to the front. You're welcome to bring some kids if you like, but the two of you is also all good. Okay, so these two don't know what to expect. Okay, I thought what I'd ask first is just tell us a little bit about your family and like what did Sabbath look like, say, a year ago? What is a typical Sunday or what does it look like?
So we've always celebrated Sunday in terms of being a day of rest and a family day. And actually from towards the beginning of this year, we've been slightly more intentional about it already in terms of what we do and don't do and all the rest of it. So we've got four kids and we being together, deliberately slowing down, not doing all the things that we may have previously slipped in, I think was one of the biggest things that we had decided already, and now we are more intentional about it as well.
Okay, so it sounds like you guys already started at the beginning of the year to sort of take this journey. Where did that come from? Had you already come across some of these teachings, or why did you start at that?
So we had read John Mark's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, yeah. And he speaks a lot about Sabbath in that. So I think that's what sparked the more intentional focus on it. But I would say we were more Sabbishing, eh? Yeah. Because we just didn't really understand all that it could mean. And so I think that this teaching has helped us just, it's like blown it out of the water for us in terms of the gift that it is.
And so have you guys done it on Saturday? Are you doing it on Sunday? What does it look like in practice? Like,
it looks like a mad rush on Saturday afternoon to get everything ready for a Sabbath meal on Saturday evening. We still do dishes. Gigi joked that we pleasure stack, so we have to dish stack for Mondays. But we still do that kind of thing together at home. But the last two Saturday evenings have been so much fun because after we've cleaned up from supper, we've ended up singing together, and we are not the Von Trapps, okay? We love to sing, but we're still learning. And so it's just been a time of having fun together in worship. So we've really enjoyed that. And then Sundays is church and French toast every time after church and an early supper. And just, I think one area we want to grow in is learning to do something quieter on our own, because I think having four kids with different needs, it's quite hard to be quiet. So that aspect is, maybe still growing.
Awesome. And just for the kids, I know they're not up here with us, but have they found it quite hard to kind of slow down and do things differently, or have you found that they've managed to adapt quite quickly?
I think we've all found it hard, some of us more than others, to slow down, the kids as well. I think a couple of them find it a lot easier to go off by themselves and have quiet time. But it is certainly something. One of the things that came up in the course was, are there external pressures preventing you and internal pressures? And I think with us sometimes it's more internal pressures to do things and be pressured to do things and just slip in what we would normally do. And I'll just do this quickly and this needs doing, I'll just do it quickly, and trying to deliberately stop that.
Awesome. So I guess just thinking forward, is this something that you guys are going to keep on trying to do in the weeks and months ahead, or what are you guys, where are you at in the journey? Because I think for all of us, it's quite new, and I think we all are learning. So where are you at in that journey?
No, I think it's something we plan to incorporate into our family, how we do Sundays, Saturday nights and Sundays. I think we've been quite aware that we don't want to make it legalistic. We don't want to have things, you may not do that. We like to go away, we like to travel, we like to have weekends off, and obviously those weekends will look slightly different. But I think as a family, it's something we want to make a core habit.
I'm addicted.
Addicted in a good way. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate that. All right, so that's our round number one. Thanks to the Hartwicks. Now I'm going to ask Ange, Mark, and Pam to come up together, if that's okay. And Alana's going to ask you guys some questions.
I can do work on the laptop, doing work for work, and then also working in my workshop or doing projects around the house, DIY projects, and yeah, just going flat out right through the Sunday. Always saying, well, next weekend I'll take some rest, you know, and just would go from one week into the next. And you finish a project and you just find another one to keep you busy, you know. And that does damage to relationships and to yourself. So got to a point where I faced burnout. Okay. Yeah, you know, stared it in the face proper. Mm. Yeah.
And so what have the last 4 weeks been for you? What have they triggered for you?
So I think after that big fight I got a few years ago, I did start to try and rest once a week, and sort of thought, you know, I was sort of doing a Sabbath, but didn't realize, you know, what it all actually meant and what it actually could look like. Mm-hmm. So I think that the rest part has been something that's been a reasonable habit, and just taking some time out in the week. But now I think the delight in the worship has been far more special, mm-hmm. especially delight. That idea has been really quite a revelation.
Okay. Mm. And tell us a bit about how you've been doing it with community. Have you managed to do that?
Which has been a huge blessing is that the McFarlanes had the first evening here on the Reach exercise, and that grew into then joining them in their home with Pam and Ange joining us. And so, yeah, just we've had time together on a Saturday evening. It's been really, really special. Yeah, yeah.
And so I get the impression that you're not working on a Sunday anymore.
No.
So much.
No.
But then how do you get ready for your week?
Yeah,
what does
so
that look like?
I must say that I always just, when I took the Sunday off, if I did take a Sunday off, sometimes if work required me to work on a Sunday from a standby point of view at the factory, then I would try and take the Saturday off.
Okay.
So it was flexible. But I always found that going into the week, you know, I was really wrestling with this like readiness to be like, you know, to have your A game by Monday morning. Mm. And so then I would start doing stuff on Sunday and feel very guilty about it. But now the idea of going from, you know, and again, I'm being legalistic, you know, but going from a 5 or 6 o'clock on a Saturday through to that, it just, and then just to do some preparation for the week ahead. And it really does then also make the Sabbath feel like it is the start of your week.
So you would start Sabbath around Saturday evening, and
yeah.
then when would you
and then
take it through till?
And then what I've done the last 3 weekends, it's not something that's really entrenched, but I go for a run, and then at like 5 in the afternoon, and then I come home, have a shower, and then I get on with preparing, going through my to-do list, and just getting things ready.
And have you got time in Sunday evening?
Yeah, it's amazing, because I really thought like normally we're doing it under pressure when it felt like it was like not the right thing. It took me 2 or 3 hours because you sort of like put it off, you know. Mm. And now I just get stuck in, and it takes much less time. Yeah, so that's been quite a surprise.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you have quite a piece about that, and
yes,
quite a release.
A huge piece. Yeah, knowing that it's not that you know you've like legalistic complied, but you've honoured it, and it's now a natural movement to go forward.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, Mark. Thank you. Ange, tell us a bit about maybe your own sort of self-discovery, as much as you feel. To share.
Sure. So I think what's been interesting to me is the reflection that's come out of rest. Mm-hmm. So I would have said that I was good at resting, but what God has revealed to me in this exercise is that my rest was superficial, or it was... I realized that it's in my performance that I find rest. So I can only rest if I've performed well during the week, and I feel like I then have earned my rest. And so I would often spend weekends berating myself, or even like almost self-hating, like I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I failed in that task. And so there wasn't real deep rest. And then the other kind of, not shameful, but I'm just being honest, revelation, was that the other driver in my life has been like, I use the word acquisition, it's probably the wrong word, but if my finances are healthy, then I feel at rest. I feel peace, inner peace. And so God's shown me that in the stop and rest stage of this journey, that my like and my validation has been in my performance and and in my security. So like God's revealed like how He wants to reorientate me, and so the slowing down, the revelation, the resting has led to this. This reorientation and this discovery, as I've rested and reflected, that I am enough, I have enough, and Jesus is enough. And so it's been amazingly gentle and wonderful how God has shown me that I've got so much in Him, and so that's been wonderful.
And then just briefly the why behind Sabbath.
Yeah, like I come out of a very religious upbringing, and we were made to pray at certain times. We had to go to church. It was very legalistic, though it was a different denomination of Christianity to Protestant as we are. Anyway, and it was very hard, and I'm quite like rebellious against religion. I think I sniff it out and I hate it, and at the same time I can lapse into it. So it's this tension, and I've like just been felt God really saying to me, why are you resting? Why are you stopping? Why are you resting? Why are you delighting? Who and what are you worshipping? So again, it's just been this gentle revelation the whole time. God's just showing me, like just correcting all the time, so it's super early days. We definitely aren't like waxing it, but I've loved the little conversations I've been having with Gabe, who's only 8. And he, because we've been going to the McFarlanes for the last 2 Saturday nights, and he's listening and he's absorbing, and we're having conversations about Sabbath. And I feel like I've got this opportunity to train him and teach him in a way that I wasn't. So it's all about the heart and why are we doing this. And it's very early days, but it's great.
It's lovely, and I can hear that God is revealing Himself to you as a Father who is so gracious and so patient and so kind. And isn't that just a beautiful surprise? We know it, but to experience it is just so delightful. Loving and and delightful. Yes. Thanks, Ange. Pam, you mentioned to me a particular joy that you've experienced in Sabbath. Do you want to tell us about it?
As part of the delight, being single now, having been married most of my life, it's been a revelation to me how difficult weekends are. And I think any single person will testify to that. Everybody else's family is doing things, all weekend. And Saturday nights in particular have been hard. And you sit on your own, unless you get invited out or you decide to invite people over or something like that. So it's been wonderful that the community part of a Sabbath meal at Doug and Heather's has been absolutely wonderful. Lovely fellowship has been such a delight. But added to that, one of the weeks, about 2 weeks ago, the Lord brought a lady to my attention whom I didn't know where she lived, and I'd been wanting to visit her for about 4 years since her husband passed away. He was part of the Parkinson support group that my husband was in. And I didn't know where she lived because she'd moved and I didn't have a number. And then that particular week, I discovered her number. So I phoned her at lunchtime on the Sunday and I said, I'd love to come and visit you. I've discovered you've moved and what's your address? And so she told me. And I cannot tell you what a joy it was to visit her, to discover how lonely she was, how much she needed a friend, and to connect her up with somebody else who lived quite close by, who had such similar interests to hers, and it was a perfect match, and I was able to connect them, and it was just so precious, and I came away from that just with a soaring heart. It was so wonderful to be part of community, the joy of community in Sabbath, yeah.
Thanks, Pam. We haven't discussed this, but for you, what would worship then maybe look like, apart from singing?
Apart from singing. Well, I think I try and make it a daily practice to surrender, mm-hmm. personally, to say, Lord, here's my body, present it to you as a living sacrifice, I'm available to you. Please fill me with your spirit, let me see what you see, let me hear what you're hearing, let me feel what you're feeling. And particularly coming on a Sunday to church, mm-hmm. who is it, Lord? You know, that mm-hmm. that needs something I can be a blessing to, yeah. Mm.
Thanks, Pam. Thank you all.
Thank you, guys. It's quite interesting to see how it's blessed people in different ways. It's not like a consistent thing that it's all been the same for each person. So thank you so much for those stories. Finally, we're just going to ask Ella and Geeta to come up just to share as well. And then just to say, if there's any of you that we're not interviewing and you've got something that you'd like to share, please, after I finish here, please feel free and just raise your hand and I'll give you an opportunity to share something as well. Okay, awesome. So, for the younger folk here, we have Ella with us. And for the very young at heart and the very much under middle-aged, we have Geeta. Yeah, so I think... Ella, when we were just communicating, you were saying something about this last Sunday. Mm-hmm. So can you just tell us a little bit about how was this last Sunday Sabbath for you? And just, yeah, let us share a little bit in that experience.
I think the last Sunday, after just ending on the worship section of the manual, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. So, yeah, we went home and I wanted to stop, you know, what I was doing. So I think intentionally, I just took some of the ideas from the manual and I was like, okay, I'm just going to put my computer and my phone and my watch like in a separate place. And then like I just detached myself from that area of the room. And yeah, from there, I just then rested for a bit. I think just in silence in my room. And I found it was a very peaceful time that was very rejuvenating as well. And then from there, I just felt led into the word just for a short time. And I really didn't feel it was like about being religious. It was just about reflecting and in the silence, like hearing the word of the Lord. So yeah, then I felt really led to Psalm 37, which interestingly enough, in the manual actually like brought up, if you go look under the worship section, it was one of the praying psalms like that you could practice for the reach exercise of a fixed hour prayer. So I don't think I prayed for an hour, but like I did meditate on that psalm. And then I was also reminded of the day before I was at the women's meet here in church, and a lady shared a powerful testimony, which she was like where God showed her things from Psalm 37. And so I really resonated with that. And I think, I'd like to share one or two of the verses from the psalm. Some of them, like verse 34 from Psalm 37 says, put your hope in the Lord and travel steadily along his path. And then verse 5 says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He'll make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. And then the last one about delighting. I was really interested in this. It says, verse 23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they may stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. So yeah, I think in that time, I just really realized the Lord's love for me and that he was always available. And all I needed to do was stop and rest and then delight and then worship.
Fantastic. It sounds like that actually stopping gave you a chance to actually have a really good quiet time.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is amazing. But like I know in practice, you guys at your age, at school, life is hectic.
Yes.
I mean, I think sometimes we think as adults, life is busy. You know, and we have a lot going on. But when I see a lot of you guys at school, it's also very, very busy. So in a way, is it not also putting your faith in God to stop and actually say, today I'm not going to do what I could be doing?
Yeah.
Does it feel a bit like, are you feeling a bit anxious about that idea?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think at the beginning, before stopping, there can be an anxiety. But I think in that, it's like giving it over to the Lord. And then before, like in the week, it's almost being intentional about saying, okay, let me work hard now. And then I'm going to look forward to my Sabbath. And I'm just going to put my books away and put the phone away. And there's distractions. And I think it's having that like trust and faith that then the blessing comes when you surrender. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think for me, that's probably one of the main things about this idea of Sabbath is that it's actually saying, God, I'm going to trust you. And on Sunday or on Sabbath, I'm not going to do the extra work that's maybe needed that I think's needed to get me ahead, whether it's studies or with work or something like that. So it is a act of faith to say, God, I'm going to trust you to do what I can't do or what I'm surrendering to you, which could be extra studies or for us, extra work and catching up on emails and that sort of thing. Awesome. Thanks, Ella.
Thank you.
Okay, Geeta, so from our little conversation, I understood you've got some friends who've actually been doing Sabbath for some time, and I understood they were kind of challenging you on this even before we started this. Can you tell us a little bit about those interactions?
Yeah, so I have people in my life who are Adventists and Hebrew roots, and people are really serious about Sabbath. And Nadine, our daughter, is a professional rider. And she was riding or training the horse for the Adventist. But he said, no, not on Saturday. And I thought that was quite interesting. He said, no, on Saturday I rest and everyone around me rests. And he said, and by the way, why do you feel that all commandments are serious except the fourth? And I was like, oops. I'm a Christian. Why don't I know the answer to this? Even though we had years that our daughter competed horse riding, she's a professional horse rider, and we wouldn't compete on Sundays because we didn't feel that was the right thing to do, but it was always very sort of haphazard or flippant or not really thought through. So the Adventist asked me about the fourth commandment, and then my brother-in-law also said, what's up with you charismatic Christians? The fourth commandment is also a commandment. So I was like, oh, okay. At the same time, my weeks are really hectic and busy, kids, two businesses, this, that, the other. And I really felt that life was like a to-do list. And actually, the two come together if you Sabbath. If you take a day, I've now started doing the Saturday Sabbath because I feel after a week of really working hard, it's lovely to have that day on a Saturday or to start on Friday evening and then on Saturday have the Sabbath and then I pray with a couple of friends on Saturday evening. And it's just made a massive difference to my life.
Sure, and Geeta, when you slow down on your Sabbath, is there anything specifically that you've found you've got space for to delight in?
Yeah, everything becomes different. I think because I'm maybe a type A personality, life is a to-do list. There's always something. And now that I switch off my phone and I read, potter a bit in the garden, not really work, but just enjoying it, talking to people. I have family overseas. Normally I speak a lot to them during the week, but now I only speak with people around me. And yeah, it's just amazing. And then the prayer with the friends at 6 o'clock is a nice way to end it.
Sure, and I mean, one of the, I guess the questions has been, you know, is the Sabbath a commandment that we need to keep or not? And I mean, are you feeling like now you're doing it because we command it to, or because it's good for you, or how have you settled that question when you go and speak to some of your friends next time? I guess you can say now, I'm doing the Sabbath, but they might say, why? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, so I think it's an interesting question. Is it binding, or has Christ fulfilled Sabbath? But to me, it's actually more that we have this need to rest. God knows what's best, and he's not going to clap me if one day I'm going to not Sabbath. Yeah. But he really wants the best for us. Yeah. So if we do this, we're benefiting. We open up our communication with God far better, I think, than when we're not rested. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want to make it into a hugely legalistic thing, and I'm not going to become an Adventist. But I'll stay here. I love this church. Yeah. But I think it's such a beneficial thing. And for me, this course really came in time and at a really relevant moment in my life.
That's lovely. Thanks, Geeta. Yeah, because I think just in terms of that question, though, the way John Mark Comer kind of presented it was that the Sabbath is a gift, and it's wisdom to be able to take this sort of break. And I think just, you know, as a church, we are certainly not advocating that this is God's law, and if you break it, you're going to get in trouble. But I think that we're hoping that as we step into that and experience what God has for us, as we try and follow him well, that's going to bear fruit. So it sounds like you guys are on that journey and enjoying it so far. So thanks so much, both of you, for sharing. It's awesome. Thank you. Okay, I said I was going to ask anyone else. Anyone else want to share a thought or two? Otherwise, I'm going to quiz Alana and my wife.
Okay, so yeah, for me, I think the biggest challenge was the delight part, because it's amazing God's sense of humor, because I've been having this conversation with God for a long time about eating in heaven. I love food. And so, you know, the scripture says when we are with him in glory, they will no longer hunger or thirst. And I'm thinking, does that mean you're not going to eat? You know, that's like a problem for me, you know. And after the first night, we were at the church. And then Jenny and I live with Jenny, who also belongs to the church. And we decided we would have Sabbath, because it was a way for them to also institute the beginning of Sabbath on a Saturday night. And because we work full of the week, we thought we'd each have a turn on a Saturday to prepare the Sabbath meal. And so, it's been wonderful, because, boy, we have feasted. And then even last night, Jeff finished the meal and he said, oh, you know that song? It was a pop song back at the young people won't know. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. And it was just like the Lord reminding me that he loves to feast. And of course, we will be feasting like nobody's business. And if Sabbath is just a taste of what's going to happen one day, oh, such delight.
Anyone else? Okay, then I'm going to ask Kev, just to share a little bit about our little story, the last few weeks, what it's meant to you.
And so I had a lot of the internal resistance to Sabbath that maybe some of you identify with. So I'm very much a list person. I have lists of lists of lists of things to do. And I never get to finish all my lists ever because I'm making new ones all the time. And for me, Sundays were, my head was just in list mode after church. I've got to get this done, this done, this done. What about this in the week? Phone this person, contact them. Don't forget to message that person, email them. And then you get that Sunday night blues because the week's now starting and you don't quite feel ready. And anyway, so for me, the first time we did Sabbath, Doug and I had been chatting since March about introducing this in our family and how we're going to do this. And we'd been listening to John Mark Comer's material and reading his books. And so the resistance was huge. Like, how am I ever going to catch up a day that I'm now losing to Sabbath was my mindset. You know, how wrong is that? Anyway, and so it was the first day we tried it. We said to the boys, let's all put our phones away. No TV, no movies. It's not about entertainment. We're not going to watch any series. We're not going to be on the computers. I think they were happy that Doug and I were not going to look at our phones. But anyway, we started, and by sort of 2:30 in the afternoon, I was so frustrated. It's like, this is a waste of time. I'm just sitting here doing nothing. I'm doing nothing with my time, and I don't like to do nothing. And I said to Doug, do we have to do this till 6 o'clock? And it was hard. And meanwhile, in my head, I'm like, got this agenda of everything I'm going to have to squeeze in between 6 and bedtime. And normally I do all my school schedules, or I used to, on a Sunday afternoon, print them, start filling them in, and for the boys for homeschooling. And I was thinking, how am I possibly going to do this all tonight? Like, this is going to be ridiculous. I'm supposed to rest and then flog myself afterwards to be ready for the week. Anyway, so the first week was horrible for me, and there was a lot of resistance, and I was angry that I had to do this process, if I'm really honest. And then started processing through all the REACH material, all the material that we've been going through on Saturday nights where you dig deep. And I identified 100% with the internal resistance, that culture is at war with the culture that is of the kingdom. And I had to look at things differently. And so the Lord just showed me that I don't have to prepare for the whole week on Sunday night. I can just prepare for Monday morning on Sunday night. So I tried that the next week. So I just got everything ready for Monday morning, and it was incredible how all the details for the rest of the week, there was time for that detail to happen, the schedules to all be organized and filled in. There was just time. Somehow God just organized that it happened, and so I was able to rest. And then we started learning about delight, which was the next step. And so then Sabbath became fun because now we were filling it with things that were delighting, not only in each other and our family and in other people in the community who are joining us, but also in God. And so my heart just shifted, and I was like, yes, I like this. And now it's like the thing that I look forward to the most in the week. And so when we started learning about worship, I'd been thinking, Lord, I delight in worship and worship music and music. That just gets my soul singing. And so I came across a song, and I wanted to just read the lyrics. I've put it in a frame, and we put it out in our home for Sabbath. And it's called Not in a Hurry. It says, Lord, I don't want to rush on ahead in my own strength when you're right here. I'm not in a hurry when it comes to your spirit, when it comes to your presence, when it comes to your voice. I'm learning to listen, just to rest in your nearness. I'm starting to notice you are speaking. Lord, I want to love like you. I want to feel what you feel. I want to see what you see. Open my eyes. I want to see you more clearly. Open my ears. I want to hear you speak. Tell me your thoughts. What's on your mind? I'll be your friend. I want to see through your eyes. I want to see through your eyes. And so we now, Doug and I, were like, we're not going to become Jewish. We're not going to be legalistic. This is not who we are. And so Doug said, we need to find our own ritual as a family for Sabbath that works for us
as South Africans in 2023. And so we start our Sabbath with this song. And for me, it's just straight away puts Jesus right in the center. Boom, the Sabbath is all about him and being in his presence, experiencing his nearness, resting in him, and asking him to help me see what he wants me to see. Because then you can put all those other obstacles in the right place. So that for me has been it's been a very big learning curve and a joyful one now. I can look back and say, because I've found what can work for me.
Thanks, Sethi. So, Alana, can I just ask, is there anything else that you want to add from your experience, or are you all good?
Good.
Okay. All right, well, thanks, Alana. And thanks, everyone. And I would encourage you, you know, we're now finished with the series, but if you haven't tried Sabbath, why don't you give it a go? And certainly there are many of us that are going to keep on trying to build this into the fabric of our lives, and we're trusting there's going to be more fruit. All right, so let's close in prayer. Yeah, Jesus, we just want to thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. And we know for some of us, the Sabbath experience has been an amazing one. For others, it's been maybe frustrating or hard to come to church where things have been so different. But Lord, we just pray for all of us that you would continue to work in our lives. And Lord, our hearts are ready that we would learn to surrender to you, and that as we do that, that our faith and our trust in you would grow. So I pray for each one here, Lord, that you would continue to speak to us, continue to bless us and lead us closer to you in the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.